Good morning. Thank you, Holly, for praying for clarity of mind. It seems like right now my mind is, and I'm trying to zero in on something here, and we'll see where it goes. I do have a message this morning. I do have notes, so we're going to try to stay with them. There's something whirling around there that may come up. We'll see. Tyler, your devotional on identity is part of that, and it actually goes right into my message this morning as well. The title of my message is Faithful Parents. And as I think of that, our baby dedication this morning, and how that plays into our identity, there's a lot of things, and part of what's happening in my mind right now, it's somebody that I've had connection to through one of our jobs, and she shared something with me this week, and I knew about an incident that had happened earlier in the year or last year, and what happened in all that story, and identifying with the pain that she's living with right now, and the connection it had to this person's parents, and the failure in that home. And as I'm thinking of that this morning and thinking of our service and Dylan and Renee and Tyler and Melinda bringing your children and dedicating them to God is two parts to that. Yeah, you're bringing your children to dedicate them to God, but there's a part that you have to play in that. And actually, your part is bigger to play than what that child has right now. Because that child's future and that child's identity is dependent on you, 100%. And that's I'll share that. I am going to share that story toward the end. But I want to look in the book of Deuteronomy this morning. We're going to be looking at the first 12 verses of chapter 6. But I also want to go to just a short story in Luke chapter 2, where Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple. Verse 21, it says, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons." Joseph and Mary understood, and not only did they understand, but it was the law. It was part of the law. It was part of what God had set up. And even though I think they knew that there was change coming, there was a part of that change that they didn't understand. In the same way that this morning, none of us, when we had children, none of you that have children, understand all of what is going to happen. A year ago, we did not understand where Jesse and Mildred would be today. We don't know any of these things, and it's good that we don't, because we would live in fear. But Joseph and Mary, they simply obeyed the law that God had set up for them to take that child and to consecrate him, to have him circumcised, to obey the law. And this morning, as we look at this message, as we look at this chapter in Deuteronomy, the thing that I want to enforce in our minds is how important faithfulness and obedience are in our lives as parents. It is utmost to what our children will take from life. It is no guarantee that our children will follow what we teach them. But I will guarantee you, they will never forget That I can guarantee you. So, we'll put a little humor in here to start with. Great truths about life that children have learned. Number one, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. Dylan Hosteller, I dare you to try. He would be the one that would try. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. If your sister hits you, don't hit her back. They always catch the second person. Never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato. You can't trust dogs to watch your food. Don't sneeze when someone is cutting your hair. Puppies still have bad breath even after eating a Tic Tac. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. I haven't figured that one out. School lunches stick to the wall. That sounds like something Dawson would try. You can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Don't wear polka dot underwear under white shorts. And the best one is the best place to be when you're sad is on your mother's lap. And that is true. That is where we want to be. So let's read the first 12 verses of Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What does the word Deuteronomy or the name Deuteronomy mean? Does anybody know? What was the first word you said? Repeat the law?
Yeah.
Pretty close. Yeah, that's right. Repetition of the law, that is right. You got it, Christian. You get a sticker. In Hebrew, it really means, and he shall write out for himself a copy of this law. So, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, there is a lot of repetition in that book. And the law is repeated over and over multiple times. So here, we read, and the children of Israel were leaving, and they had left Egypt. They were entering Canaan. But before they did, and this is before Moses went off onto the mountain and did not go with them, but he had one last set of instructions, and that was to remind them where they had been and all that God had done for them and what they needed to do to preserve that. And to preserve what God had given them to do in the future. In verse 3, he gives a specific command. Be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. And then he gives a reason for that. And I, You know, in the Old Testament, there tends to be the theme that when you obey, there are specific things that God will do to bless you. And typically, it appears in monetary or material possessions. I don't know that that's necessarily carried over today. I don't think that just because someone obeys God, they're going to be wealthy. If you listen to some pastors, you would think that is the case. They get wealthy and their parishioners don't. But what Moses said is, what I want you to do is be careful to obey. In 2 Kings 23:25, then back up here, I'm getting ahead of myself. Literally, what he's saying there is, listen to me and be careful to do what I say. But then down in verse 5, he says, love the Lord your God. Neither, in 2 Kings 23:25, neither before or after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. According to the law of Moses, he said, I want you to obey God. I want you to live your life in a way that everyone can see what is happening. Mark 12:30, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In chapter 10 of Luke, verse 27, he says the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the same verse, but it's two different accounts and two different people using it. So I would say, and I would suggest that as a parent, that the first priority that you have, that we have, is to love God. And that priority translates into how we honor our families. We love the Lord our God with our whole being. In verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. In another version, it says, I charge you to put these words upon your heart. Tattoo them. We all know what a tattoo looks like. Can't remove it very easily. Now, I'm not suggesting go get a tattoo, but I think that would be a way of looking at what Moses was saying here. And how does he tell them to do that? To meditate. What is meditating? What happens when we meditate on something? God's word must become so much a part of us that our thoughts about His law become our first nature. One of the commentaries that I read made this point, and I wish I would have written it down. I'm going to try to get it close. But what the and I believe it might have been Adam Clark that was saying it. He said that in Jewish culture and in Jewish society, it was ingrained in them that not only did they talk about, and he says, as you talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, the idea there is that this is not just something we teach. It's something we must live. If we don't live it, what will happen? Our children will not follow it. If we don't live it, the example and the teaching don't match. They will resent it. In chapter 11, Moses again repeats this same verse in a little different way. He says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and mind. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down, get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. My life and my words must be the same. My business dealings during the week, during the day, need to match what I tell my children in the evening that they need to do. Verse 7 says to teach diligently literally means to point someone in the right direction. The root word of the Hebrew word is to intensively, to pierce, figuratively, to inculcate or prick, sharp, teach diligently, wet. In the Old Testament, what was the significance of piercing something? Okay. You're on the right track. Ownership. That is correct. And so this what Moses is talking about here is that when we as parents take ownership of teaching our children, of living our lives, that we pierce and we give them identity. It gives them an identity of who they are because what you have taught them, because of what God has taught you. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. David says, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation. The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach the children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. God commanded that the stories of what happened leaving Egypt, the plagues, the Passover, the Red Sea, those stories were to be repeated over and over and over to show what? Faithfulness, God's faithfulness, and God's power. Very important. They were very important parts of their history. In verse 7, he uses the phrase that they would renew their hope in God and to keep them from repeating the same mistakes. Now, I don't know that my teaching, my children, the mistakes that I made helped them not to repeat a few of them. I think they probably did. But hopefully it helped them to do a little better job in what they are doing today. It is to be done diligently, earnestly, frequently, and discreetly all the time. As parents, we must repeat the truths of God's word often to our children. We do need to be careful to be correct and exact. So how do we learn? We expect our children sometimes to get it the first time. How many of you got it the first time? You mean I'm the only one? No, we don't. We don't get it the first time. We learn by repeating. I remember years ago I was trying to learn how to cut out a set of stairs. And I almost gave up. I would call Virgil. Virgil was the guy that I would go to back then and say, Virgil, I need you to come help me lay out this set of stairs. And he would just, you know Virgil, he'd just grin. And he would come do it again and again and again. And all of a sudden, one day, I got it. I mean, it was just like, boom, I got it. I haven't cut a set of stairs out in probably 15 years. And here not long ago, Kevin was asking me some questions about cutting out a set of stairs, and boom, it was there. It's there. I haven't forgotten what I learned. Virgil's faithfulness and his patience helped. But that's how we learn. That's how our children learn. And when we expect them to get it right away, we are doing a disservice to them. We're not allowing them to learn by the things that we are teaching them. We're trying to make them what we want them to be quickly. And most of the time, those things we do not retain well when we learn them too quickly. Be careful with that. Verse 8, you shall bind them. Now they actually literally would tie things on there. And in literally the translation here is, it's so important that I want you to tie a string around your finger. But what they did is they actually had little boxes that they would put on their foreheads, or they would have something hanging down by their waist that would remind them of who they were and what they were to be doing. So there's some, I don't know that God's expecting us to do that today, and I don't know that you need to do that with your children. But there is significance in repetition. There is significance in having symbols. But the problem was, if you go into chapter 11, you see that they actually started worshiping the symbols instead of what God had told them to do. Now, I do wonder, I have wondered at times, do the mottos that we hang in our homes, what do they do? I can at times remember things that hung on the wall at home. It's been a while, but I can remember certain things that hung there in that mom hung on the wall that made an impact on my mind. And so it is good to hang things on the wall that our children see, put things in their rooms that they can see. But again, the personal teaching is what we need to do. We need to do things to remind us as parents of what our responsibility is. I remember when the children were small, and I don't have it anymore, but I had, and some of you remember Katie, and I, for a couple years after Katie was taken away, I kept that picture in my truck, and it did. It reminded me every day to remember to pray for Katie, to remember to pray for my girls, but also to pray for Katie, who no longer was there, who I no longer could influence at all. And I do believe that we do need to do these things to keep us aware of what we need to do. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. This word train is a verb. It's active. It's something that I do. It gives me the responsibility as a father, as a grandfather, as a parent, as a grandparent, whatever your station in life is, to direct the growth of something by bending, pruning, and tying. To form by instruction, discipline, or drill, to teach so as to make fit, qualified, or proficient, to make prepared for a test of skill. Something happened yesterday, and I want to be careful how I say this because somebody will pick it up quick. Something happened yesterday where someone was sent through the woods, and when I intercepted, I was called and asked to go intercept, and so I went and intercepted, and there were tears. And the tears were from multiple things. And so we talked a little bit, and we made our way back over to through the woods. And while I was going, I'm trying to figure out how do I diffuse this situation. And we got there, and I said, hey, let's go do this. And boom, The tears dried up. We went to work. And by the end of it, we were talking really big about what we had just done. Those are teaching moments that you have as parents. Those are things that, you know, instead of just correcting it, we corrected it by doing something else. And it was a crisis that really, you know, anyway, leave it alone. But it takes direction. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 17, it says that we are to keep the commands of the Lord and the stipulations and decrees He's given you. God has given us something. He has given us the directions that we need to pass on. And it takes time. Sometimes we as parents seem to forget what is important. In verses 10 through 12, Moses is specifically addressing something that the children of Israel were going to do, and that they were going to go into Canaan, and they were going into a land that was going to be given to them. There were houses there, there were wells, there were fields, there were vineyards, and they didn't put any of it there. He was giving it to them. And he said, you're going in there and you're going to receive these benefits, and in time you will forget what I just told you. You're going to forget. And we as parents have the same problem. We get busy with our jobs. We get busy with taking care of our families, we think. And we're out working 12, 16 hours a day. And we're taking care of them. Really, are we? Or are we taking care of ourselves? Are we taking time as dads to make sure that their emotional needs are met? That their identity is intact? I've told this story before, or I've used this example before. My dad did some dumb stuff. One of those was that he let us boys pretty much tackle anything, even when he knew it was going to be a disaster. But he let us do it. Even he knew he was going to have to clean it up or fix it or put it back together, he'd just look and he'd walk off. He doesn't do that as well anymore. He's getting old and he doesn't like that as much as he did. Maybe he didn't like it then. He didn't say anything. But the things that we watched him do, I remember clearly that as a young boy, probably 9, 10, being out in the shop with him and Junior tearing a truck apart in the middle of the night, pulling a motor out, taking transmissions out, changing tires. It didn't scare him. He didn't mind tackling those projects, and he let us do the same thing, even when he knew it was going to be a disaster. He probably should have stopped us a few times, but he didn't. The story that I was told this week was a 24-year-old young man who spent all of his life trying to keep his parents together. He spent all of his life watching his dad, who was an alcoholic, and his mother, who had an anger problem, fight. And he did everything he could as a young man to keep them together. And a year ago, they separated and said they can't stand each other anymore. Sometime in October, he took the blame for that and took his life. I knew that part of the story. What I didn't know was his fiance was there holding him when he did it. The things that we do, the way we respond to our children, the way we respond to our families, are huge. It was not his fault that his parents separated at all. But he believed that the only way to fix it was to take his life. This morning, you and I hold those children's future in our hands. The way we respond to each other, in our families, to our children, to each other, as a church, we've been given a responsibility. And it's easy to get distracted. We've been given something way more valuable than anything that you or I will ever gain. Working long hours. And I'm not saying we don't have to do that sometimes. Working long hours. Working 6 days a week. But I want to ask you the question this morning. What do you gain if you lose your children? What do you gain if you lose your marriage? You've just lost it all. But remember the words that Moses gave to the people. Keep teaching. Keep teaching. Keep learning. Don't quit. There will be benefits to that. One foggy night in London, I don't know, this as close as I can come, this was somewhere in the 1700s. A man shuffled into a music shop. It was owned by a Mr. Betts. And the only Mr. Betts I could find was a man who built violins. And under this man's arm was a violin. He was hungry. And he asked the owner, he said, "Will you buy this violin for me? I'm starving. I need money. I need something to eat." Mr. Betts said, "I already have several violins and I really don't need any more, but I don't want to see you go hungry. Will $5 be enough?" And the man said, "Oh, yes, please. Thank you." He took the money and disappeared into the night. Mr. Betts became curious, so he grabbed the violin and he started playing it. And he realized right away that he had something valuable in his hands. So he took a light, he peered down into the violin. And there carved in the woods, in the wood, were these words: "Antonio Stradivari, 1704. He ran out into the street to find the old man because he realized that he had something much more valuable than $5. But the man was gone. Later, he sold that violin for $5,000. And when this article was written, it had changed hands at that time for as much as $100,000. What he gave away for $5 simply for a meal was more valuable than he even realized. Today, parents, grandparents, we have something much more valuable than that in our possession. And we will get distracted. But let's come back. Let's always remember to come back and focus and realize what we have in our hands today. Okay, we are going to have a baby dedication now. And Scott, I want you to be ready to sing In the Faith and Praise, song number 1014. And I'm also going to do something here that you grandfathers were not warned of, I don't think, but you're going to get warned now. One of the traditions that we do here at New Holland, when we do have a baby dedication, the grandfathers have the privilege to do the prayer of blessing. for the children. This morning we got a little different situation in that all four grandfathers are here. And so we're going to use all four of you. So I'm not going to pick and choose and take preferences this morning. So I will ask one of you, and I will specifically say when it comes time, one of you will pray the blessing on the child, and the other one will pray a blessing on the parents. So that'll give you a little time to get prepared for that. While Tyler's and Dylan's get ready to come up, in 1 Samuel 1, verses 27 and 28, Hannah had come to the temple, and she brought her child with her. She had prayed. She had been accused of things, of being drunk. And yet she had promised God that if he gave her a child, she would bring him back and give him to God. She comes to Eli and she says, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And this morning, as you come and as you share your desire, your testimony, and what you are, your desire is in dedicating this child, and I know that you already have. This is a formal public declaration. I want you to come, and I don't care which one first, Tyler and Dylan. I've asked them to share their testimony and their goals as a couple for their children. So if you'll come now, and then we will proceed with the service. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for the examples that you give us from the Scriptures. And this morning I pray especially for this group that has gathered here this morning with Dylan and Renee, with Tyler and Melinda and their families. As we've all come here this morning, to support them and to bless them as they again reaffirm their desire to teach their children by their lives, by the things that they say and do. I just pray that you would bless each of us as we this morning commit to walking with them, to encouraging them, to helping them. God, and there may be times when they come to someone here and say, "I need help." Help us, Father, to have the grace, the wisdom, and the ability to meet those needs. And I pray in these years ahead that as a group, we would be able to see the fruit of what you've given us to do. I just pray this morning as we leave here that you would help us to take the words of Moses to heart, that you would help us to look and evaluate ourselves and where we are as parents, where we are as grandparents. And if there are things that we need to change, help us to do that. And help us to be an example each day. Would you go with us this week? Help us to walk with integrity. Help us to walk in your grace and in your wisdom, to share the love of Jesus with those that we meet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.